In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. January the 1st to the 5th. Preface. 2 years ago, I wrote a book called A Year in the Kitchen. It was the idea of my literary agent, Ian Frobisher, and was, like most good ideas, and practically all of Ian's, rather simple. It was a diary of everything that I cooked and ate for an entire year. The book was a far bigger success than I had dared hope for, although I should add, exactly as big a success as Ian always claimed it would be. My partner Anthony often jokes that Ian and my relationship works in much the same way as that between Reggie Cray and one of his getaway drivers, in that he rings up and shouts at me and I seem to jump to it. Personally, I think this is a little unfair on both Ian and myself. It may also, for all I know, be unfair on Reggie Cray. Be that as it may, this follow-up book, In and Out of the Kitchen, is also Ian's idea. It's another cookery diary, but this time, as the title suggests, I have widened my scope. I'm opening not just the doors to my kitchen, but also the doors to my life. The world of a cookery writer is one that, I am told, people of a certain type are perhaps a little jealous of or intrigued by. This is the book that Ian felt I owed it to these people to write, and I sincerely hope that it's the book that they deserve. In its pages I will share not just what I cook, but also why I have chosen to cook it, and even who I'm cooking it for. My mother, for instance. I shall start work on In and Out of the Kitchen tomorrow, and will write a little of it every day for the rest of the year. Who can tell what the months ahead may hold for me or my partner, Anthony? All I ask is that it includes good food eaten in good company. In any case, whatever befalls us, I promise I will share it with you, no matter how grisly, or indeed, how gristly. Thus, I give you In and Out of the Kitchen. Enjoy, and more importantly, cook. Damien Trench, The Queen's Park Area, 31st of December. January the 1st, Saturday. The start to the new year is by necessity rather a tender one. There were only 10 of us at dinner, plus another 8 just for the fireworks, but somehow, between us, we've made an absolute mess. The place is festooned with dirty crockery, used cutlery cascades over the work surfaces, and more than one item of oven to tableware appears to have had cigarettes stubbed out in it. It's not unreasonable to expect occasional breakages, but last night's wassails have severely impacted our glassware stocks. We now possess surprisingly few rustic goblets, given that I splashed out on a new 6-set in the run-up to Advent. Fortunately, there was only one moment of serious displeasure.
Anthony, where are the marigolds?
What?
The washing-up gloves.
You're wearing them.
I'm not.
Oh, no, that usually works for glasses.
Anthony, please. Oh, have you seen these footprints?
Where?
They're the French winners. It looks like mud.
It is mud.
How has anyone managed that? I mean, it's mainly decking out there.
Well, someone must have been carrying on in one of the flower beds.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, if people were in the flower beds, at least it means they were having a good time.
Well, I'm not happy.
Just as long as none of the bulbs have been disturbed.
Not happy at all.
It is perhaps fitting that my first recipe of the year is a hangover remedy for those morning-after dilemmas. The heart starter. 3 measures of vodka, 300 millilitres of tomato juice, or whatever that canned carrot drink is called, 2 Resolve tablets. Mix well, knock back quickly, spend a few moments gasping, and then repeat as necessary. I actually enjoy cleaning up. Anthony is less keen, but no matter, he's good at it. And the remainder of the morning passed in a happy blur of scrubbing, polishing, and heavy applications of stain remover. Although Anthony bought a rather expensive dishwasher 6 months ago, I cannot bring myself to use the thing. I've never been particularly impressed with the results, and besides, there are few things in life that I find more satisfying than pulling on the marigolds, filling a basin with steaming hot water, and doing the whole lot by hand with Radio 4 on at full blast. This morning there was a terrific documentary on about socks, their origins and their uses. Quite a heavy topic in the wrong hands, but delivered with a very light touch. Well done, BBC. Meanwhile, Anthony made serious headway with the muddy footprints, and then between the two of us, and with the judicious use of a full bucket of water poured from head height, we managed to restore the upstairs lavatory to something approaching the condition it was in before our guests arrived. In the afternoon, we wrapped up warm and then headed out to the park. Surprisingly busy, but then I suppose a lot of our neighbours have children. As we walked, we realised that we'd not yet discussed our New Year's resolutions.
Got to do something about my weight.
Don't need to lose weight.
No, but I want more energy, you know. I'll eat differently and I'll exercise more. It's not my main aim, but I imagine I'll drop a few dress sizes as a side effect.
I'd quite like to learn another language.
You need to learn another language.
No, but I really want to go to an evening class at a language school where I'm taught by Italians. It's not my main aim, but I imagine I'll learn Italian as a side effect.
But why don't you stretch yourself a little? I mean, I don't mean languages, but get more work, raise your profile.
Anthony, I am very happy with my profile, thank you. And as for my work, I'm writing a book that's going to take all year. Quite enough to be getting on. If I have a New Year's resolution, It'll be to retain my professional integrity.
By not doing much more work than you do now?
Yes, if that's what it takes.
One thing we both agreed on was that this would be the year that Anthony and I would finally commit to each other. We've been umming and ahhing about it for a while, but we are decided. We're to go ahead with our extension. The cost is a lot, £65,000, and it'll stretch us. But Anthony is determined we move our relationship on to the next level. We dined simply that night. I seasoned some of last night's leftover couscous, squeezed a little lemon over it, and then tossed some mixed leaves in a little olive oil and some white wine vinegar. Delicious. Some roasted peppers soaked in oil would have been a splendid accompaniment, but we didn't have any. January the 2nd, Sunday. Anthony is certainly serious about his resolution, and when our alarm went off at 6:30, he informed me that we were going for a run, together. I wasn't anxious to accompany him. I've always thought that running, like the dishes, is best done alone and at one's own speed, but I'm happy to break my rules if it will encourage him. Even so, partnering Anthony around the park was not without its frustrations. Although I'm probably the fitter of the two of us, such is his height, he's 6'7" and takes a trouser with 41 inch in a leg, that it was very hard to keep pace with him no matter how hard I seemed to scuttle. That said, he wasn't finding it completely straightforward either.
Everything all right?
Yeah, fine. I can't go any slower, though. Come on.
Try. You've got an abnormal stride.
Yeah, whatever.
You do keep listing to the right. Perhaps that's a product of age.
It's his ear infection. Oh, I can keep going, though.
Oh, maybe it's better if I hang back. I'll give you a shout if you're heading for any trees.
Righto.
Despite our respective difficulties, 30 minutes of cardiovascular work in the cool morning mist, followed by the rather warmer mist generated by a power shower, isn't a bad way to wake up. And I certainly felt that we both earned our generous portions of bacon and eggs. I always choose bacon that looks as though it'll be able to cook entirely in its own fat, but then I add some more anyway. Some people like to fry everything in olive oil, which is deranged. Bacon and eggs should always be served with brown toast that's been cut thickly and then buttered heavily. Anthony opted to go without the toast. He's going to go low-carb for a bit, the fool. Then, after breakfast, our builder, Mr. Mullaney, kindly popped round with the wherewithal to formalise our conjugation.
We were surprised you were happy to come round on a Sunday, Mr. Mullaney.
You could have called me up in the middle of the night in the current climate.
Not a good time for builders, then.
Well, on balance, I'd rather be a builder than a banker, you know.
Anthony works at a bank.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do.
Sorry, I didn't mean...
No, don't worry. I'm in a pretty safe position.
Well, that's all right, then, barring any acts of God. Well, do you want to sign now?
We do.
Yep. Well, we need a witness.
It's not a wedding.
Oh, it's like a wedding to us, Mr. Mullaney, in a way.
Well, it's like Christmas to me. I won't lie.
Oh, super. Everybody's happy, then?
Well then, dearly beloved, would anyone like to lend us a pen? By the power vested in me, I now declare you under reconstruction.
Ah, all me ear.
And with the simple pirouette of the Parker, it was done. We were committed. There was only one thing we could possibly do after the stress of making a decision like that. Prepare a mighty Sunday lunch. Over the last few years, Anthony and I have become very well drilled at putting a Sunday roast together. First up, I like to get to grips with the meat, whilst Anthony's a demon with the peeler. I use the work surface next to the range, and Anthony takes the chopping board to the kitchen table. That way, neither of us gets in the other's way. Recipe. A super but simple Sunday roast beef with gravy. Or, as I call it, SBS as RBWG for short. Ingredients. 6.5 pounds of beef rib on the bone. Enough beef dripping to fill an angina sufferer. 6 or so carrots, peeled and chopped. 6 or so parsnips, likewise. 2 onions, quartered. A garlic bulb, halved. 2 large thyme sprigs, as much beef stock as makes you happy, fresh, I beg of you. And a bottle of red wine, a good one. There is no such thing as cooking wine. Seriously. Set your oven at gas mark 7 and then massage salt and pepper deep into the meat's lovely fatty flesh. Heat the dripping in a roasting tin and use it to sear the meat on all sides. Then set the meat aside. Make a bed of the vegetables, garlic and thyme in the bottom of the roasting tin and gently place the meat on top. I'm sure some celebrity chefs would advise you to plonk, chuck or wang it on, but that's not my way. We're cooking here, not baggage handling. Roast for 20 minutes, then turn the gas down to mark 3 and continue to cook for a further hour and 40. Then remove the meat, wrap it in foil, leave it to rest. To make gravy, put the roasting tin over a medium heat, tip in the bottle of good red wine, scraping the crunchy bits off the base of the tin. Bubble until reduced by at least half and add the stock and the juices from the beef. Couldn't be simpler. We are joined today by my parents, as well as my sister Linda and her husband Philip. Mother has recently decided that yoga is the one thing that's been missing from her life all these years, and talks about it evangelically. My father, of course, is wildly sceptical, and refers to Mother's yoga instructor as a witch doctor. Then my mother noticed that Anthony wasn't having Yorkshire puddings or potatoes, and all hell broke loose.
Low carb? Oh, Anthony, you can't be serious. It's bad for you.
It's just for a little while.
Terribly bad for your organs.
Mother.
You'll end up with cancer.
Oh, totally.
Or worse.
Carbs always make me gain weight, that's all.
That's true, Mum. Everyone knows that.
Are you seriously trying to tell me that porridge is bad for you? Your father has eaten porridge for breakfast every morning for over 32 years, and he's as regular as clockwork.
Right.
What about you, Anthony? Are you regular?
Sheila?
I bet you're not. Not as regular as he is. You could set your watch by the first
Sheila, motion. Please, I do not enjoy your habit of making my bowels the focus of conversation every time we go anywhere.
Would it be ridiculous? I barely mentioned them.
Yesterday we were at the supermarket and she starts telling the checkout girl.
You shouldn't shop at supermarkets, that's what Damien
said. The checkout girl about my bowels. I'm sick of hearing about them.
Well, you might be with the rest of the family quite happy to listen to me talk.
No, we are not, Mother. It's the constant pressure to perform that bothers me.
Yes, that must be a burden.
Now, does anybody have anything to say on the subject of our new placemats adorned with Tuscan scenes?
It was no use. Even an announcement about our extension plans could not drag my mother off the topic. Healthy bowels, much to my surprise, also turn out to be a bit of a hobby horse for Philip, who went as far as reciting a rather charming limerick about the effects of yoghurt. Linda had very kindly brought round her tarte de pois, which we gorged on before absolutely desecrating the cheese platter. After they'd gone, Anthony and I watched a film on Sky. I'm a little hazy on the details, but I think it may well have involved penguins. January the 3rd, Monday. After I'd hung up some washing on the kitchen pulley, I took the first opportunity of the year to spend some time in my workspace upstairs. I wish I could call it a study, but really it's just part of the landing. That'll change, of course, after Mr. Mullaney and his, we are assured, indefatigable crew have worked their magic. I embarked on a much-needed, fairly major sort-out. No sooner had I done so when the telephone rang. It was Ian Frobisher, wasting no time, as per.
Damien, had a good break?
Ian, how lovely to hear your voice. A happy new year to you too. Don't know if you could really call it a break. Life is as frantic as ever, but it's not been without its moments. Have you been away?
Wonderful time, yes. Skiing. Only 9 days, but it was reasonably glorious. Do you ski, Damien?
No, Ian, no, I still didn't ski.
You should try it. I'm sure Anthony will enjoy it.
Anthony's having a few problems with his balance, actually.
It's his height, probably. He should bend his knees, lower his centre of gravity.
I'm sure that's true of skiing, Ian. It's rather harder to incorporate into everyday life.
You could move to a house with lower ceilings, perhaps?
It's his ears, actually. I don't really think a
anyway,
change in
our... how's the book going?
It's the third day of the year.
I appreciate that. I really do. But if you're writing a diary, Damo, you have to do it every day.
My preference would be to leave it for a bit and then just blitz in chunks.
You must write as you go, or we'll never get it done. It'll get us in a good position for any advanced serializations, too.
Look, I'll do my best. I am rather busy, though.
Oh, have you got some more work on?
No.
How so busy, then?
The spice cupboard could do with a bit of a rejig, and we're about to have some building work done.
You know, we can give you a desk here if you need peace and quiet.
Oh, I'd rather be here in case of any fracas.
Well, if you're sure. Now, look, have Publicity been in touch?
Yes, they've sent a couple of emails. They'd like me to write a column for a supermarket's in-store magazine.
Oh, that sounds good.
Which I will not be doing.
Right.
And I have had another message concerning making a contribution to a radio documentary about French beans.
I wouldn't worry about that sort of thing.
I've said yes to that, actually. I'm rather excited about it. I love radio, and I also love having a fridge full of cold cuts. They did for lunch and supper, with a little garlic mayonnaise and some radicchio. January the 4th, Tuesday. I was very jealous of Anthony this morning. I practically have to stretch before so much as travelling up an escalator, and I'll still probably need a deep tissue massage when I reach the top. Anthony, on the other hand, just cannot be doing with such frippery. Just shakes his hands and feet about a bit and then sets off. I ran clockwise around the park and he went anti, and in the time it took me to do 3 laps, he managed 6. He then just plodded home and off to work, whereas I did more stretches and a warm down before leaving and was still gripped with delayed onset muscle soreness half an hour later. I had earmarked the morning to prepare for tomorrow's French bean interview at the BBC and so took the phone off the hook, switched off my mobile, modern convenience I hate, and settled down in my workspace. I started, and who wouldn't, by reading and noting simply everything that the wondrous Jane Grigson has to say on the subject in terms of history. I then attempted a bit of a run at things from more of a technical angle, and so I took down my trusty Vegetable Gardening by Ralph Levi Watts and had a lengthy delve. This really is a wonderful volume, and in terms of sheer horticultural bravado, is probably only matched by Mrs. de Salis's Gardening à la Mode. I might just add that both of these volumes are inexplicably out of print. I found the Levi Watts in a charity shop in Willesden and came across the de Salis quite unexpectedly at a house clearance sale in Cromer.
I had just about knocked the morning's research and a few well-chosen bean-related anecdotes of my own into a cohesive whole when a bombshell was dropped.
Damien?
I'm upstairs.
Why's your mobile off? The landline's been engaged all morning.
I need it quiet. I've been researching the French bean.
For God's sake, Damien, researching the French bean is hardly justification for going completely incommunicado. I have been trying to get hold of you.
Why are you at home? Have you forgotten something?
No, I haven't forgotten anything. I've been sacked.
What?
Let go. I mean, 400 of us.
So close to New Year, that is unbelievable. It'll be just like that. Why didn't you call?
Do you remember what we were just saying about the phones?
Oh, yes, sorry, I'm panicking.
Yeah, well, you needn't. We'll be fine. I have an extremely generous severance package.
Right, well, that's something.
We can still afford to eat, even with your tastes.
You're all right, then?
Yes. Let's have some lunch together.
What now?
Why not?
I'd love to, Anthony, but I'm already late for my bean interview.
Oh.
Some may say that I was callous to leave Anthony alone to brood on his misfortune, but after all the work I'd put in, I was damned if I was going to miss the opportunity to hold forth on the haricot vert. I had little time for lunch, so I stopped quickly for some sushi from a proper, by which I mean independently run, sushi bar. I'm always so upset when I see people eating sushi that they've bought pre-packaged from a high street chemist. It's dry, it's bland, and it's an affront to the Japanese. And so, fortified with fish and armed with a sheaf of notes, I walked north to Broadcasting House for my French bean interview. It was not, if I'm honest, exactly what I was expecting.
Mr. Trench?
Hello.
Hi, I'm Sandra. Thanks for coming in. Sorry you had to wait so long.
No, that's okay.
I'd gone to the wrong building. Well, the wrong part of the building.
Yes, no problem.
Right, just through here, I think. Oh, maybe not. Yeah, that's right, Studio 6. Hang on, where's my stuff? I don't believe it. I left my bag with all the questions and the tapes and everything in here. Someone's just walked in.
Was it definitely this studio?
Yeah. Oh, hang on. What floor are we on?
The second, I think.
Oh, that's it. We're on the wrong floor. We need to be upstairs. Sorry. If you just follow me this way.
Shouldn't we be going back the way we came?
What?
Towards the lift.
Oh, yeah. The lifts. Thanks. Oh.
We spent some minutes travelling together back down to the ground floor, up to the fifth, and then finally down to the third again, where we found the correct Studio 6 with Sandra's luggage in it and a mountain of machinery that she struggled to operate.
OK, it's recording now. Sorry about the delay. I'm not really familiar with these machines.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll accommodate pretty much anything to work for Radio 4.
Radio 4? You know this is for Radio Scotland.
Really?
OK, I think we're ready to go. Right, here are the questions. Do you like French beans?
Yes, I think they're something to be cherished.
Name a way of cooking them.
Boiling, or you could steam
them.
Don't
worry, we only need the one. Did you like vegetables as a child?
Very much, even as a young child.
That's great. Great. Thanks very much for coming in. Sorry about the various delays. Do you need me to show you back to the lift or anything?
No, I think I can manage alone.
It takes a lot to make me angry, and I certainly don't wish to belittle the efforts of Sandra or BBC Scotland, but I was absolutely furious as I trudged back to the tube. Radio can be such a wonderful medium, and the French bean can be a fascinating subject, but I felt that both had been done a serious disservice this afternoon. My very crowded train set off, travelled for a few moments, and then abruptly stopped and remained stationary for three quarters of an hour. In that time, just a single announcement was made. It was the driver telling us that he had no idea how long the delay would be. I suspect even Ernest Hemingway would end up being a little teary after the afternoon I'd had. Only he, I suspect, wouldn't have vented his frustration by making his own pasta. Recipe. Perfect pasta. Ingredients. A beaten egg. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. 5 ounces of plain flour. 2 tablespoons of water. Sieve the flour, then mix with the salt. Make a well in the flour to add the eggs and make a dough. Water is optional. Then knead it on a floured surface until you're happy. Roll it out, then cook it in boiling water for no more than 3 minutes. You can knead the dough using a blender, of course, but today I thought I'd do it with my own bare hands. Anthony and I ate our pasta in front of a Powell and Pressburger box set that Marion Duffert, who produced my Sky Arts series about the culinary habits of the opera greats, had given to us for Christmas. I chose the red shoes, Anthony chose a bottle of Sancerre, and then we settled down on the sofa. I then padded through to the kitchen to fix us a little treat to see us through ill-met by moonlight. It was the perfect balm with which to soothe our troubled souls. January the 5th, Wednesday.
Papers came while you were in there.
Oh, good.
Bagsy, the sports section.
Sure, I'm determined to view this as a positive event, you know?
What? Collapse of the economy?
My redundancy.
Well, the most positive thing you could do, Sean, is find a new job. Quickly.
Not necessarily. This might be an opportunity to try other things. I could study, I could travel. I'd love to do some travelling.
Anthony, 2 days ago, we signed a piece of paper committing us to pay £65,000 for some building work that is starting any day.
I told you, my severance package is extremely generous.
Well, it will run out eventually.
You work.
Yes, but I don't earn like you do. I spent most of yesterday working on a pointless radio documentary for which I will receive £42.50 and the cost of my travel.
Well, maybe this might be a time to start thinking about doing a few more things just for the money.
Where would I find the time? I've got my book to write, my Saturday columns, not to mention the not inconsiderable number of hours I have to dedicate to simply keeping house.
But I could do all that now.
I want my output to have integrity. I'm a cookery writer, not a celebrity chef.
What's the difference?
You're joking.
Of course I'm joking. You spend most of your free time telling me the difference.
Oh, no, but funny.
Right, I'm going to go for a run. When I come back, I shall look for a new job. Possibly Camp America. Sorry. You coming?
I might stay a bit a little longer. Feeling a little touch and go.
I no longer wished to chase Anthony around the park like an asthmatic stalker, and on top of that, I'd been up 3 times in the night feeling queasy. It can only have been the sushi. Anthony had been out the door 5 minutes when the bell rang. I pulled on my dressing gown and gingerly waddled down the stairs.
Hold on, wait! Coming!
Hey, Mr. Mullaney.
How are you, Mr. Trench? Ready to start? I thought I'd better get here early. I've got subcontractors arriving in 10 minutes.
I thought you were starting on Monday.
No, raring to go.
I know the feeling. Actually, would you just excuse me?
You all right?
Oh.
I emerged from the bathroom no small time later to discover that no less than 3 subcontractors had arrived to work alongside Mr. Mullaney, and so leapt into action, making sure that they knew where everything was, and more importantly, those areas that Anthony and I had determined need to remain out of bounds. I'm not one of those people who automatically assumes that every single member of the construction industry is a Jezebel hell-bent on theft and corruption, but I do think it's important to maintain a certain level of convivencia. I was determined that we should all get off on the right foot, and so insisted on making hot morning drinks for everybody. All the men were keen for coffee, but sadly, each requested instant, and so I'm afraid I had to put my foot down. I won't have instant coffee in the house, and I'm not prepared to relax my principles for the convenience of the manual workforce. I insisted on making a proper coffee for each and every one of them. I don't know why people laugh when I tell them that I have 7 types of coffee machine, but they seem to. Today I thought everybody would appreciate an espresso. I had 2 supreme shots of the stuff myself and felt instantly like Alexander the Great. For a moment.
Damien!
Oh, hello, you. Are you ringing to see if we need milk? Because we do.
Damien!
Might need to make lattes after this lot.
Damien!
You're probably not ringing about milk at all now. You're probably wondering how I'm feeling.
Damien.
Well, somewhat fortified by the coffee, but still a little vulnerable. Lifting is certainly off the menu for the foreseeable. I mean,
Damien.
I've probably managed to dry some glasses or something, but I'm not really lugging any cookware about the place. I'll probably be the nerve back no end of bad.
Damien, how much coffee have you had? Listen to me.
What? What is it?
I've fallen.
In a religious sense?
No, in a real sense, in a park.
Sound like you're still horizontal. Are you still where you fell? I could come and help you up. Probably useful if some of the builders came too.
No, I'm in an ambulance on a stretcher.
An ambulance? What happened?
I went over. I lost my balance. It was because of this ear. I landed very hard. I can't move. In fact, well, we can't move. The traffic's unbelievable.
Ask them which hospital they're taking you to.
What?
Which hospital
are
they...
Are you tenderising meat?
Meat?
They're banging.
It's Mr. Mullaney.
Mr. Mullaney's tenderising.
Mr. Mullaney is banging.
Oh, this is hopeless. Look, they're going to bring me straight home. You know, once the traffic's... Oh, we're off. And, stopped again. I'll be with you in... whenever.
Mr. Mullaney?
Would you mind if you used your kettle? One of the lads found a jar of instant in his toolbox.
God almighty.
With Anthony in an ambulance and the builders doing their best to recreate Dante's 5th cycle of hell, I felt that I had little chance of writing anything of worth until I had my memories of the morning expunged by a spot of cooking. And despite being nowhere near 100% in terms of health, I still felt semi-compelled to make a treat for the builders. Recipe. Marvellously moist muffins. No one in their right mind can deny the comforting properties of muffins, and I find the making and eating of the little fellows are a perfect antidote to shock or an attack of what Anthony calls the grumps. This would actually be a tremendous recipe for a young first-time cook, but it works equally well for under-the-weather cookery writers. For these muffins you will need an egg, 12 ounces of flour, do sift, 180 millilitres of milk, whole if you have, semi if you don't, skimmed if you're mad, 6 ounces of chipped chocolate, plain is best, though it needn't be too high cocoa, 4 ounces of brown sugar, 3 ounces of pureed banana, by which I mean attacked with a fork, 50 millilitres of vegetable oil, trust me, 3 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg. Set your oven to the required heat. Trial and error has taught me that the ideal temperature for these beauties is exactly 205 degrees Celsius, which is effectively gas mark 6 plus 1/8. Then you simply need to pour the ingredients into a mixing bowl and have a good old stir until all constituents have blended into a gooey oneness. Take your muffin tray, grease it with butter, as per, and then fill each indent approximately 2/3 full. Slide the tray onto the middle shelf and set the timer for 20 minutes exactly. 19 minutes leaves them raw, and after 21 they're as added as the gooby. Take them out and allow to cool for as long as you can bear to.
Any problems at all, Mr. Mullaney?
No, it's all going smoothly. Remind me where your main step is, though, would you?
Hold on, that must be Anthony. He's had a fall. Did I tell you that he's had a fall, Mr. Mullaney? He was taken away from the park in an ambulance because of his ear.
Right.
I'd better go to him. Crikey, you're on...
Yeah, crutches. I'm in agony. Agony, Damien. Total agony. Thank God you're going to be around to help me.
What? I am rushed off my feet as it is, Anthony. I have my book to write. I feel horrible. My stomach's trying to disown me. The builder needs constant attention. I've had to make coffee for them. I have had to cook.
You've cooked for them?
Don't get grumpy with me. I shan't imagine you're going to be fit to operate the clothes pulley in that state either. That's more responsibility I'll have to take on.
Excuse me, gents. It's just...
Oh, yes, Mr. Mullaney, the mains tap. I haven't forgotten. I'll show you now if I can find somewhere to prop up the invalid.
You could be a little more sympathetic.
If I had the time, I might be.
It's not the taps, it's the kitchen. There's a burning smell coming
There's
from...
There's a what? There's a... Oh, sod it, that'll be the bloody muffins!
Hello, Mr. Mullaney.
You've been in the wars, haven't you, fella? Mr. Trent said you'd hurt your ear, but looks more like...
Yes, well, there's my leg, as well, and my neck and my back.
Yes, you really felt hard, didn't you?
Yeah, did just... Ah. So how's the work been coming on?
So far, it's been pretty straightforward.
Oh, don't believe it! Why didn't anybody tell me the bloody bell had gone? There's so much noise! How am I supposed to get anything done in this wretched house?
Forward, yeah. Quite, really. I'll let you get back to your back.
Yeah, thanks.
How does anybody burn muffins? I mean, I could weep, I really could.
In and out of the kitchen starred Miles Jupp with Selena Cadell, Brendan Dempsey, Justin Edwards, Philip Fox and Alex Tregear. It was written by Miles Jupp. The producer was Sam Michel.